Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League Podcast, a show hosted by LeZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wamit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
All right, and we have started. I'm just cutting you off. Okay, we're taking this conversation away from the Rocket League podcast. Go. Rocket League and Chainsaw Man? Go.
Yeah, Rocket League and Chainsaw Man. So
Chainsaw Gober.
Yeah. Chainsaw Topper. Using the chainsaw topper, that's a segue into
no,
that.
No, wow, tell us. Yeah, that's a segue.
So there's this one panel, I guess one page in the manga, where what ends up happening is it's just a little flashback history giving a little bit of stuff on Denji. And Denji and the really anime guy, I forget his name, with the sword.
If you are not regular listeners, you're gone right now, but that's okay. Keep going.
I was told to keep on going, and for some reason the show started, so we're just continuing with this
because I don't have time this week, but yes, keep going.
So what ends up happening is those two are just talking and living their daily lives, giving a bit of history on it, and one of them starts off with being like, the guy with the sword is peeling an apple, and Denji's like, yo, give me some of that, don't waste an apple peel, that's super nutritious. And then the next panel like is him eating the apple peel. Below that, it's the guy, sword guy, peeling an orange, and next to that is Denji saying, "Hey, don't get rid of that. It's nutritious. I should eat that." An orange peel, you know, disgusting, awful. Okay. But yes. And the next one is where it really gets up, and where it relates to the thing that we talked about in the pre-show, is that the guy with the sword is picking a scab, and then Denji's like, "Oh, are you going to eat that? It's nutritious." Goodness. And the guy's like, "Ew." Very relevant to the recent episode.
If you watch the recent episode, if you know, you know.
Yeah, that gives a bit of history, and it may not be it's as bad, but it may be worse than you thought, just for reference.
I was so infatuated with the intro. I was so happy listening to it, but now when I listen to it, all I think about is Barf Kiss.
And if you want more of this lovely content, you can listen to our pre-show. Uh-huh. Which, you know, goes into detail as to why we're talking about that right now.
Yes.
And to do that, you have to join our Patreon, which gives you ad-free access and shout-outs every week. So thanks.
Who are our Patreons?
Too Much Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Flux, Awesomeness, Caleb, Raz, Digital Toast, Pain, Aruk, Your Boy Hunty, and Young Slug. You made that 2 minutes and whatever else you'll hear in the pre-show possible. we are going to talk.
If you guys weren't ready, you know what type of episode it's going to be.
you know. Well, okay. So Wabs came in late for the pre-show, but in the pre-show, I'd mention this, and I'll mention this again. You know, Messi was about to fall asleep. You know, I have a headache, so this is going to be a really good episode. That being said, okay, it is episode 200, which, you know what, this is in some ways the most appropriate episode for episode 200.
We knew what we were doing. This was all. No, this plan. Was all planned, actually.
Yep. Yeah. The plan was to have no plan.
Yes, to be as much of a mess as possible. That was our plan. Will say right away, you know, since this is episode 200, I'm going to announce it now, okay? I'm going to announce plans. I mean, we don't usually do this, okay? We don't usually have plans for the next year, okay?
No.
And I got a plan for literally, you know, 52 weeks or 50 weeks from now. Okay. So I'm going to tell you guys what's happening. Spoil. Okay. Actually, let me give you the short term plan. By the way, we have what? It's slowly time for me to set up for the Christmas special. So I'm going to have to think of, I want the community to be involved with poetry and music. If that might be a thing I'm going to try to get together. Okay. So, you know, start getting your poetry and writing in order. Maybe practice your singing, your Christmas, you know, as carol singing or whatever types of songs, festive songs. And then you're going to send them in and we're going to play them on that episode. That'd be really cool. So that's the thing that is in my mind working. But a year from now,
I'm going to announce
right now. So there'll be episode 249. So whenever episode 249 drops, okay,
mm-hmm.
That will be the last episode before the Christmas special next year. And then before episode 250, which will coincide, I'm planning to make it two episodes. I'm forcing it. I'm planning to make episode 250, all right, coincide with our 5-year anniversary. So this is like 1 year, 365 days, or probably a little more, the way time works. So on that 5th-year anniversary show, okay, I will announce if Sunless Khan is on that show, then it will be our last show. I just want to announce that right now. So you're going to have to wait 1 year, okay? And then depending, you'll listen to that episode 250 live or, you know, on our recording after like a 2-week break or something and a Christmas special and then that. And then you'll find out whether we're going to continue or not, all right? If Sunless Khan is on the show, that is our last episode. So I'm just letting you know.
Okay, planning to destroy the podcast with that final episode. Okay.
Yeah.
But what if he had
Sunless Khan interview?
Yeah. What if he had Seth Rogen on the podcast?
Pretending to be Sunless Khan.
Pretending to be. Yeah. Yeah. The mm-hmm. other way around. Yes.
I like this. Yes, yes. I like
have
this.
Not decided yet if there's alternatives, if there's ways to break this forced storyline, you know? what's the word? This is my tidbit at the beginning of the shonen, you know, speaking of, you know, shonen shows, of the anime. This is my thread line now. All right. We have the thing that's going to happen at the very end. All right. And we're going to see how we get there and what's going to happen in between. I don't know if it's Seth Rogen, you know, if there's someone pretending to be Seth Rogen, if I get an AI to sound like Sunless Khan, does that mean it's the end or not?
What if we deepfake him?
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so the call here, the best way to do this is to have that episode have a voice changer that makes you sound like, I guess sound like Seth Rogen. So we're probably not going to find a Sunless Khan emulator, but we might find one for Seth Rogen online.
Why don't we just,
so
make just a use a voice Khan changer?
They just use a voice changer, and then after that episode, wait like a little bit too long before the next episode to get everyone freaked out that it was the last episode, but then not mention it. So I won't, I mean, I'll probably mention, actually I do plan to have episodes throughout this year, just titled this many weeks or this a year until, or this many episodes until Sunless Khan kills our podcast. That will be a running theme. Okay. Throughout our next 50 or so episodes. I just want you guys to know. Okay. So yeah. Yeah. There
before we move on from this, my favorite part about it is that, we're, I think, about 56 weeks out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I have no idea how it's gonna work, but you have some plans. I'm assuming that there are breaks already planned and pre-planned into this.
Yes, right? there may be a summer break, or if there's not a summer break, actually, a summer break would work because that would give us four episodes. Like we can do special episodes again, or alternatively, all right, when there isn't episodes for the 4 weeks next year, there might be some kind of other content that we will pump out.
Okay.
Just in that in between. So there you go.
The 0.5 episodes is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Now there you go. Now you have something to bite into for the next 56 weeks, apparently. And with that, we're gonna go into what today will be about. Today, you know, speaking of which, you know, before you start the new plot line, okay, you got to tie up the loose ends. And what loose ends do we have to tie up, Webs?
A loose end that is not getting tied up, but we can try our darndest. The questions. Oh my gosh.
Yes, the questions will be the bulk of the podcast. I will say, however, if you want, by the way, if you want like a national flags or can't like whatever's because there's a World Cup going on, I got my Poland one ready. I got my decal as well. If you want to get those now during the World Cup. So if you
the event is going on for, I believe, 15 more days as of recording.
Yeah. So, yeah, get on that because I know some people.
I recommend you wear underdog flags. Do it.
Sure. Sure.
Or just wear a flag of a team that's not in the World Cup, but they got a flag anyway, like Italy. So
ooh.
If you want to do that, do that.
Yeah. Just, well, I would say wear whatever flag you feel, you know, you probably something to do with your heritage and all that. Okay. Let's get into the questions here. Frank asks, "What has Wabs ever seen The Good Place, and how do you feel about its representation?"
Oh, are we finally answering this question and not pushing it off?
No, I just thought I had to mention it because it's been there forever. Okay. Pawn asks, how do I get good as Eliza Rutini tells me after he destroys you? Practice more. Question answered.
Yeah, it's probably a once thing. Just play once.
Be better. Old Moose Chloris asks, what are the top five tips to fix rotations? One, always go across from where the ball currently is. So a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll go where the, like, they'll be like, I'm rotating back post, and then they'll just drive like beside where the attacker's driving to hit the ball and go on the same side as the ball is to rotate then all the way around. No, literally stop going near the wall on this, on the side where the ball is, and go to the other side, and then you can get back post. Do you guys have any tips here that help?
Always follow boost pads. That doesn't mean that you have to follow big boosts, but always follow your rotations along the boost pads. That's a big one, especially if it's longer rotations. Messi, you want to go next? We can do this in order.
Don't be afraid to hit the brakes. You can hit the brakes.
Oh, it's fine. I like this.
It's fine to hit the brakes sometimes.
No, but it's I'm full speed.
I don't care. Hit the brakes.
I can't stop. That's so much boost. What?
Be quiet. You're rotating too fast. Hit the brakes. Give yourself space.
Honestly, that's great. I think we gave three tips, but I didn't think we get gems, but this is good. Yeah.
Question answered. Partially answered.
No, I think it's good. We give them too much, then they'll get confused. Okay, long question. Tim has something about game companies you think were focused on releasing first, where they missed a quality, which that seems like a Robin Kyle show question.
Question postponed.
I like that.
Is hitting a powerful air volley a mechanic in Rocket League? Yes, it is.
Yes. It's called spinning and having rotation and movement in your car. And
being able
spot.
To... I mean, it has to do with like fast aerials as well, right? Being able to like launch yourself and still hit the ball well and then time where the ball is going. Yeah, I think it's mechanic.
I mean, technically, driving forward is a mechanic. Mm-hmm. So...
I would say this is high enough as a mechanic, though, because this is the type of thing that like you really learn as you're kind of starting to practice like double taps or things that are high up in the air. Because what you end up having to do is like if you just try and hit the ball being forward, like your car is not actually moving whatsoever. Like it's moving, but your rotation, you're not rotating at all. Then the ball will just kind of like go in front of your car and you're stuck next to the wall as you're about to hit the double tap or as you're about to get something else. And it's like, this is an impossible angle. I can't do this. But if you are rotating, if you do have speed, not just your car's speed, but additional speed to the car, and you're hitting it in the right spot, then you can actually get it far enough away from you that you can get a reasonable distance to, for a double tap or something that, you know, similar things are possible. So yes, but that's also why I recommend that people also learn how to spin in the air and use air roll. It's the exact same reason.
So they can
hit it also looks cool. Hard. Yeah. Hit ball hard, but learn how to actually do it in
I like
position
hit
you hit
hard.
The ball.
You know me.
But like with the spinnies, there you go.
With spinnies, question because you hit ball harder.
Well, you only have to activate spin at the moment of contact. You don't have to spin when you're going towards it.
It's not just moment though. It's
like
necessarily
seconds before.
Yeah, it's about a second to actually start the rotation forward. So like at that point, you kind of have to be aware of how your car is moving, anyways. And if you have to be aware of how your car is moving, anyways, then you can pretty much spin.
Just do the monkey moon arrow. Just do monkey moon arrows.
That's
listen, just bind a regular air roll And as you're about to hit the ball, hit it and don't move your stick. Your car don't move when you hit ball hard. Wow. Anyway.
Question
answered.
What is your favorite creative decision the Psionics has made with RL?
You know what? You guys remember when they did Beyond the Pitch for Dignitas and NRG? Like months ago? Months and months ago? Like where they would go behind the scenes of like the teams and what they did like outside of matches, like at LANs.
Oh, I love
like
that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, yeah.
That was like, a
that
thing?
Stuff was yeah.
Oh, I missed that. That sounds amazing.
Like if you look up Beyond the Pitch, like on YouTube, it should pop up.
Okay. That's something to look into. Like I think
it's like
I love
some
that.
Really good content. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, well, actually, no, it's a YouTube channel, but yeah, you'll see it. From Rocket League, it's for Beyond the Pitch, Dignitas, Beyond the Pitch, NRG. Like, those are the only ones they did, but they were really, really good.
Mm-hmm. In a similar vein as that one, I really like the pure content things that happened at RLCS, like the kind of cringy but amazing like shorts that they made that kind of have an overarching storyline, just like the really dumb things that are fun to see in the mid, like the transitions from one game to another, because then it's not just like overwhelming Rocket League and you just get burnt out. You're like, oh, this is actually like, fun.
My favorite one was Justin, it's chalked it's chalked
that in the race, the Fireburner says race.
Oh, he had a broken JG. Toe, though.
Broken toe.
Yeah, Sizz lost because he had a broken toe.
Yep, not Cove. Broken toe.
My favorite creative decision the Psionics made with RL. I honestly think, like, they've written some pretty good scripts, you know, for all the turns that we have, all these best sevens. The comebacks. Some good script writing. I mean, it's a very creative skip writing. You don't see it coming, you know, and they keep writing.
It's some really good writing from Gibbs. I really appreciate what he does.
Yeah. I mean, Gibbs, it's like it's hard work, you know, to put on these terms. No, I will say Spike Ball. There you go. Or whatever it's called. You know what I mean?
Spike Rush?
Yeah, Spike Rush. Question answered. If you were in charge of an independent journalist group covering Rocket League. Wow, Tim, with the I like when Tim, you know, there's like Tim's like, oh, I thought of this and I added it to the pool. And then there's Tim's like, oh, this is like a different angle. You know, it's like Tim has the same question, but he like gives me five versions of it. And only one of the versions is interesting. And here it is. if you were in charge of an independent journalist group covering Rocket League, what stories, teams, or related game talks would you find most interesting to cover? For me, like when it comes specifically to journalism, I want to talk about how one esports, but also let's just say their game, is viewed in their region specifically, right? When you have some like in their country specifically, right? So we have one of some of these pros, which like in our scene are really big and they're actually making a whole bunch of money, right? Like a player from BDS, right? But then like what is the conversation that happens when that player, you know, goes to their own country, they try to explain like what they do and like what kind of, you know, what does their family think, what do their friends think, like stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff I'd want to see.
That'd be really interesting to see that. It's a quality idea, actually. I don't know if that would ever happen because I'm wondering if that's like too personal.
Well, but you'd have to obviously get the agreement, but I'm sure for some people, like player profiles,
honestly, a story that I'd cover with a generalist group is a really good team that turned really bad, like immediately,
and like have like the most in depth
like a team that won it all, and then didn't qualify for the next major. Looking at a certain just, like, team right now.
A stupid amount of interviews too, like interviews not with the team itself, but like everyone around the team. And it's like what we're wrong, and then you just have like the most like contrived documentary from it.
I'm gonna need them to interview like Quadrant when they beat BDS in Regional One. Yeah, like so. How was it? It's like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, we won, yay!
I want to see that.
Wow, did you have an idea?
Not really. I'm not good at being a journalist. All
right, question, answer. No. This is how we're doing it, okay?
Yeah, we're doing
it. We don't have to go, all right, Messi and I and you all answer it. We just kind of answer the person who feels like they have a good answer will answer. Sound good?
Yeah. I want to see what Messi said historically, though. Like, I want to see the C9 drop. I want to see the G2 drop. I want to see the current energy drop. The BDS
I want
the
documentary
drop.
Series. You know what I mean?
I want all of them.
There it is.
Rocket League has so many. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, question answer. Okay, we have a question from Chaos Maker that was answered on the thing. Like, on the question tab. No, I mean, Messi, I'm deleting it as you speak, so answer it.
Where was it again? It was how so, like, serious input lag is.
Yeah,
it's not that bad.
Yeah,
you just I played on a Switch. If you're on an Xbox, you're doing better than me.
Yeah,
all right.
Yep,
and Messi's really good. So there you go.
Yeah, Messi knows what he's doing. I will say, if you are having input delay issues or you're having like frame rate things, 90% of that is monitor, especially if you're on console. The consoles are pretty much good enough to do anything if you're hooked up to a TV that has like 1 second latency, because that's honestly not that unexpected. Then you're going to have a problem. But if you're playing on an actual monitor that's like, you know, 1 millisecond or touted as 1 millisecond no. and it's got decent refresh rate, blah, 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 you're good.
What if I played on a CRT?
Honestly, not bad. If you have things properly set up for it and, you know, you somehow made it backwards compatible for Rocket League, like a console that is correct, I guess, to a CRT. Like, if you figure out a way to make Rocket League work on GameCube, then using a CRT, oh my god.
isn't it better, right? Isn't
yeah, it'd be better than like a computer
that's why
and a
Super
monitor.
Smash Bros. Still use like those super old
yeah, like TVs. Yeah. I think Ludwig recently hosted like a really big Melee and Ultimate tournament, and they were playing like Melee on like CRTs.
No, Melee has to be played on CRT, right? It straight up has to be played on CRT. There are actually HD CRTs that exist in the world, and they
only
pretty
Smash
much
Bros. Players are buying it.
Yeah, they pretty much only exist in the hands of Smash Bros. Players, specifically Smash Bros. Melee. Potentially some speedrunners of old GameCube and Wii games, just because that's the native, like the CRT is the native
yeah,
support.
If you're speedrunning a game and you're playing it over and over again, you want to get it as high quality as you can.
Yeah, but I think a lot of speedrunners actually play on emulators, the majority at this point. So you'd have to find a specific game that is still only played on the original thing, which is pretty much only Melee.
And there's also like the placebo of like playing on like a new monitor with an emulator compared to like an older device. Like, some people have that. They're like, oh, I have to play on this to play good.
There's definitely placebo aspects, but I will say that a GameCube to CRT, if it's all like, if the CRT is still working fine, which most of them are, I think it's objectively better than like even a good quality computer to its monitor, like its directly hooked up monitor. So that's an interesting little bit. You could double check it, but I actually think that is a proper 1 millisecond thing, or 3 seconds of input delay, or 3 milliseconds of input delay. Not 100% if that's the right number, but I think that's what was checked with Melee. And if you're trying to do it on a computer, there's little bits more like it, within the milliseconds, but it's it's really interesting. It's really fun. I love thinking about that.
Remember when we casted Melee Labs?
Yeah, it was a good time. It was very funny.
I think I was the greatest Melee caster of all time. So there you go.
I am not going to deny.
I mean, when did Melee come out?
2001?
Is Melee older than me?
Probably.
Melee is indeed older than me. All right.
There you go. We cast it 3 years ago, though.
Oh, 2001. That was only 3 years ago. 4 years. Yeah, it feels like 4 years ago.
Yeah. But relatively, 4 years ago is not. I mean, this podcast is about to celebrate its 4-year anniversary. So there you go.
Yep.
Question answered. Remember the Fruit Wars? Yes, I do. Question answered.
I remember.
I mean, it was great because we had the whole like watermelon with the invasion of the Discords and stuff. That was fun.
Yep. Mike still has his melons in his name.
Nice.
The last.
Rule two of Rocket League, don't blame anyone in the chat if you're bottom of the scoreboard. I don't know if it's rule 2, but I agree. If you're bottom of the scoreboard, you're not allowed to say a thing. You literally
I strong disagree with that.
No, I disagree with that.
The reason I say this is because you two have not been playing okay with the masses for a while now. All right, so you have like a contrived, elevated, you know, you've reached nirvana of Rocket League where you can say I have, you know, 50 points, but I have actually not made any mistakes, and the people who are scoring all the goals are also making mistakes, and you can go on this kind of complicated tirade. But when someone has 26 points and everyone else is 500, they can't say anything. Like, you might as well leave the game because there's a better chance that the other, like in a 2v2, that one person will 1v2, like at that point. I agree.
I've had a game before where I've sat at like 30 points and we'll be up like 3-0 or 4-0, and I'm just watching my teammates do all the work. I'm like, yep. Go, guys.
But you're not losing, so it doesn't matter.
But you still get blamed. That's the fun part. You still get blamed.
If you're winning, it doesn't matter. I'm talking specifically if you're losing. And then you get mad at your teammate with 700 points and you have 20. Okay?
But I think the really fun thing is that I don't know if this is specific to higher things. I don't think it is. Even if you're winning and you're like
teammates will complain.
Even if you're playing correct, even if you're like doing everything to enable them and you're like, all right, I'm touching the ball so that the next guy can pass it. They get the pass points. I got two, whatever. Who cares? But then they'll yell at you. They will. That is a fact. I have been yelled at so much.
You guys must be playing some weird way. Cause I have never, I only see this when people are losing. I've never seen this when people are winning. Okay. Ultimately, actually, okay, I have a story. I haven't told it. This is a great story. I was playing hoops, right? And someone, I believe there was tense. The person got super mad at me because I think I own gold, all right, with like 20 seconds left. And he's like, what are you doing? He like got super, super mad. And I stayed in the game, and then we get to the end of the game. And this says we won. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't care about that goal because we were winning. Like, what are you on about? He like confused the scoreboard.
Starts yelling at you, looks at the scoreboard. Oh, wait, never mind.
No. He didn't he started yelling at me. And I'm like, I said, look at the scoreboard. He still doesn't realize.
Oh, he didn't even realize after he said it?
Then he types it into chat, dude.
Oh, my God.
Like, he was convinced we were losing. And I was just like, anyway.
I love the Rocket League community. It's a great place.
All right, any final thoughts on this?
Grapes. But let me say one thing about being on the bottom of the scoreboard. Because you said it earlier, like, if you're at, like, 20 points and your teammates are, like, 500, then you might as well just leave. Because it's like a 2v1.
That was me making my point. That wasn't...
I know it was, but I'm going hard on it.
Go for it. You never do this, Babs.
I know. But the reason I'm doing it is because me and another player who's, I think, currently in C3 has hit GC. The Trident, the guy that we talk about somewhat frequently, our friend.
Okay, I have something to say about him after, but go.
Okay. Me and him have been playing with two of our friends who have never really played the game before. The one of them recently got ranked at silver, and the other one hasn't, to my knowledge, been ranked yet. And the thing about this is we've been playing in casuals to, like, you know, it's casuals. We're like 1600. It's impossible for them to play. And we're playing at a pretty decent spot. Like, but the two of us, me and Trident, playing together, we'll be able to beat the three of them in 90% of games. And what's ended up happening is the two people that we play with, individually, if they're in, or sometimes in chaos, will be at like up to 25 points, pretty much. Maybe sometimes they get a goal, but it's maxed out at like 25 to 40 points, usually somewhere in the 2 through 15 points. And what ends up happening is me and the other guy are playing not 2v2 or 2v3. And that's the weird thing. And this is why I bring it up, because we're specifically not playing in a way that is just us playing and our teammate can't do anything. We're playing in a way that is mostly rotationally acceptable for a threes queue, just like slightly more defensive. And we're trying to let those other people play, let the two people hit the ball, have fun. It's really hard because the ball's moving fast, the ball's high in the air. It's rough, but they're having fun with it. And what I've noticed is that because we're not playing as if it were a 2v3, we would 100% be losing if our third wasn't even there, regardless of whether or not they've hit the ball at all throughout the entire game. And technically we could still beat the opponents if it was a 2v3, but we would have to try a lot harder because the opponents are playing different, kind of assuming that our teammates, you know, aren't literally silver or lower. And it's really fun because it's just me and him get to do a lot of stuff. We're playing people who are like high diamonds to low champs. Like they're not people who are bad at the game. And it's not just a 2v2 rotation. I'm going for ceiling shots all the time. I've tried to practice like double taps and flip resets while I'm playing these games, and it's really effective. It's a lot of fun for me and the other guy, and everybody's just kind of enjoying it. But I don't know. That's why I want to say it's like, even though they are hitting the ball maximum 10 to 20 times per game, they are oddly having a really, really strong impact on the game and how we play and how our opponents play. So that's kind of an extreme example to the minimum points thing, but
That's good. That's a good point. I was going to add that, this is actually going back to what Pon was asking about earlier about how to get good. And I was going to use Trident because I've also, this is like a thing. If you want to get good and you haven't been getting good, just play drop shot. Let me rephrase. Messi, if you are below platinum,
yeah,
play drop shot.
Oh yeah, no. I don't disagree.
Death. What, you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I think drop shot is an amazing way to learn. Just
people keep thinking like, oh, they're gonna start, you know, let me start like ground dribbles, air dribbles, all that stuff. It's like, no, to get out of platinum, to get to diamond, you have to be proficient at drop shot. You have to be able to read the ball in the air and move fast and then hit the ball. And that's all drop shot is. It's literally a self-contained training pack with other real players, not like fake generated air shots, real players. And you have to turn, right? You have to use your drift button to turn. Like, it's all the basics, like really all the basics that a lot of players early on have a hard time developing. It's all there. So I think up to platinum, it's easily, like, if you're stuck in platinum or you're just starting out and you literally just play drop shot and have fun with it, you're going to get way better, I think, than just playing the regular game, because it's going to force you to do aerials and hit them.
To be honest, I think it's more effective even higher because it also forces you to teach 50s or forces you to learn 50s very well.
And then eventually, as you get better at that, you play against better players and then you bring it into the real game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can learn boost management and whatever else. Yeah.
I like that you brought this up because now we can say that if you are trying to reach gold, play Snow Day. Once you reach gold and you're trying to reach like
Snow Day,
diamond.
Why Snow Day?
Because Snow Day teaches, like, it forces you to learn absolute base rotations, and it forces you to learn, like, it teaches you how to hit the ball while it's on the ground. That's pretty much it.
I kind of like that. I can't give
you don't have to deal with the air. So it's like leveled almost training. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time I think of Snow Day and think about it, like applying to like lower level people, I can no longer think of it in lower level. I'm like, someone's going to pinch it like 120 miles per hour. You can't rotate normally. But then it's like, oh, people don't know how to do it at a little lower level. So I'm like, oh, okay.
For them, it'd be easier. To do that into, like, GC. You don't have to deal with an aerial, right? You just run around and
that's it. Like,
on the sides, and
you don't have to do aerials. You don't have to dribble.
Other day, I was engaging in a mild amount of tomfoolery on an alt account.
How dare you?
And I was playing a little bit of Snow Day and like champ, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was just taking it into the air, and no one knew how to block it. They're like, he can dribble the puck in the air. What is he doing? This is sorcery. And it's just, I don't know. It's it's almost like, how do I say it? It's like nostalgic going down in a Lincoln rank, being like, oh, they can't read that yet.
Yep.
I was at that point too, and it's like, Like, it's like I missed that grind. Like, yeah, I've already, like, achieved the highest, like, rank in the game now. Like, my drive for the game is, like, on a downtrend for sure. So.
Time for nice. The next challenge. Time to start playing six mans.
Nah, never. Rank B is bad. B for bad.
B for bad.
All right, and that question's answered, and we're moving on. You know, I'm on a mission, all right, to get through as many of these questions as possible, and I'm not going to let your rank B, all right, slander get in the way of it. I mean, people can be toxic there. That's fine. Chaos Maker, this is a question which was asked a while ago, but that's okay. I was saying this one feels a while because I feel like Chaos Maker now is like way more part of the community. But when he asked the question, he was like just literally just joining us. Was thinking about one of the talking to friends, older players who are new to RL. I'm in my 30s and just picked it up. I know younger age is prime. One, the way the mind works, and two, the hours being in playoffs. So what's the best habit training ideas, et cetera, for older new players who want to climb the ranks but don't have as much time to put in brain power to commit to a game like this?
All right, I'm going to sit back. I am not fit to answer this question.
And my answer, going back to what I just said, is now, and this is a fun way, you just play drop shot. Like, I think that's it. I think don't make it like, oh, I'm training. Make it like, oh, these are these fun game modes, but also like help me, right? Like for me right now, that's twos, right? I just haven't played a lot of twos ever. So now my like quote unquote training is I just play a bunch of twos because it helps me with threes. So there you go.
Nice.
So I think that's it. Yeah, drop shot. Finding fun things, finding little things. But I think drop shot's my new thing that I'm championing. So maybe if I answer this in a month or two, it might be you know, go practice, I don't, flipper sets. But currently this is what I think is the most proficient way to get better at the game without a lot of time. And then it's like it's honestly like I would say if you are doing a training session or you're just playing drop shot, like just be the thing. Get a bunch of random friends or just you and just the half hour, the hour that you have that day, just play drop shot. You know, don't make it like, oh, this is my warm up or all that stuff. Just like, no, just only do that. I think that's my recommendation because I've done this too, right? Where I'll like play multiple game modes, it just kind of messes with your brain a little bit too much. So I think it's good to just do that like as like a one session thing. You got anything, Wabs, here?
Not much. You just gotta like actually play the game. Find out what time you can play it and then play the game, and don't forget that training also is a thing if you genuinely want to get better. To I guess focus it, you can either do like, highly recommend doing some free play and like learning how to properly
just running around free play, like
it's really,
you know, you're taking care of your kids, all right, so like you have your headphones off, you're not really focused, but you can be like in free play whatever and then just have it there, and then you know if you have to go do something, you know, adult, then you know, be responsible for other people. You can just like drop the controller in free play and not worry about, oh, it's a game or whatever. You can just be like relaxed. I think that's a good add-on.
Or equivalently doing training packs and like if you have the option, custom training, but training packs, and like find one that's challenging for you. Not one that's impossible, but one that's challenging. The defense stuff I find is really good for learning how to like get to speed quickly. The defensive stuff is really good for just being able to hit the ball, and you can learn how to hit the ball correctly later. It doesn't really matter. Just being able to hit the ball at all on some of those defense things is like genuinely a challenge. So learning how to get to speed quickly and control your ball or your car at speed and stuff like that is good for defense, or defense is good for that. And then just your shot packs, find something that's challenging, but you can actually work with, and then slowly ramp up how you're like, we've talked about training to no end. So you can.
Listen to all the early episodes.
Yeah.
There
you
go. If you want more on that. Question answered. If you're going to give Madden-like ratings to RCLS pros, who would give 99 rated players, and who would be the players closer to 75? So this is the list of the... I actually love this kind of question, because, like, in my mind, like, right away, players like First Killer and Miss, like, I put in the 90s. But you know, here's why. Because if you're going to do a rating that would be in, like, a game like that, sometimes it's notoriety over like their actual level. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's certain players that you're like, wow, this is a really good player, but right now they're like not playing really well, but they just built up the notoriety. So my brain, those two players stick out to me as, like, for instance, players that are rate higher, right?
It's like the way that I'd put it, right? I think of it more in like FIFA terms, where a player like first killer would be like a flat 90, like just nice. And then miss, I'd put closer to like 86, 85, because he was just on like a team that was kind of, let's put it bluntly, doo-doo, right?
Here's the real question. Where do you put the NRG players? That's the question we want to answer.
Well, that's talking about his heartstrings.
No, that's the only question I want to answer with this. This is a great one, but like, I'm not going to continue. Like, we can't delve too much into it, because I think this could be a full episode one where we just give rankings to every player.
I'll start with who I think is the lowest, which is Squishy. I'll put Squishy at 80.
Okay.
Like, just 80. You know what? Nah, not even 80. Put him at 79.
Okay. All
right. I respect that. I respect that you went the extra mile, because I already, you know, in the tone of my voice, I was already giving you... And you know what it is? It's not necessarily that, like, Squishy is that bad. It's just, like, and another thing we'd have to do if we were making this is we'd have to get, like, a list of 50 players, and then, like, we'd have to think of, like, what are we rating other players for this to make sense, right?
Because I'm thinking, like... You have to have some recency bias with this, like how they're playing currently. You can also like sprinkle in like a very slight amount of what they did in the past, like very slight, not a lot. So I put Garrett at 83. No, just a little higher. And then we'll put Justin at a 86, because he's really just been the backbone for this team, keeping them afloat, being that guy showing up. So 79, 83, 86. I think that's fair.
Okay. I'm just gonna move on. Because this is okay, Tim. This question that you gave, I think this is great. Let's save this before the next Worlds. If we remember this before the next Worlds, we'll do like,
how about we pin it?
All the players. No.
That's been for too long. Tim doesn't deserve it.
Anything that Tim wrote. Question answered. With Rocket League careers generally being pretty short, I'm surprised at how quickly some players burn bridges and make complications between themselves and their current or former teams. What is some advice you'd give to help them treat it as a career opportunity instead of just a hobby? This is an interesting one, because I think by the token that it is so short, if you just burn too many bridges, it's you're ending a career that probably would have been 2 or 3 more years anyway. Sorry, this is my first gut reaction to this. It's the idea that like you have to have a supreme amount of passion to make this into a career, and then if you're the type of person that is burning bridges, then you're not going to make a career anyway, right? Like I think one of those things is like if you are calling out people, like I think Reddles is really out, right? There are times when you call out people and it's part of the banter and it's part of like building up hype. And there are times where it's better not to say anything, right? Like Reddles after the team split didn't really like, yeah, obviously like he'll like alluded and stuff. And like, you know, more people watch his YouTube or Twitch or whatever, seeing like what he would say. But I think like you could just, you can be your own worst enemy. If you get into spats or arguments, or, you know, like specifically call people out when it's not part of, like, let's just say the narrative, oh, this team's playing this team, right? Or it's not like, and maybe it's line crossing as well, right? Maybe there's some people you don't care if you, like, you're done with them, and then you go on your personal crusade to like, okay, a lot of young people do this and they're like, I don't like how this person talks and thinks, and now it's my personal crusade to end them, and they're stupid, and everyone that associates with them is stupid. And it's like, you can't have that kind of mentality if you're trying to build a career, right? You kind of have to, be, you know, a little more cordial. But then, you know, because it's so, like the career is only 2 years, right? Unless you're like thinking of going to content creation. All right. So I finally have an answer. Sorry, from Tim to advice. Right now, you might not be thinking of this as a longer career. but don't let your future self in 3, 4, or 5 years ruin opportunities. You might not want those opportunities right now, but in 4 to 5 years you will. So don't ruin it now when you're not thinking about it. Yeah, that's my advice.
It's like you have your outliers like Vatira, like this season. He literally just said, I'm going to leave a team that I had so much success with to go play with my friends. And now we're the best in Europe, better than we were doing before. So it's interesting when it comes to situations like that. But I don't know. Just because the way that he did it, like Rise explained it more in depth. I don't think a lot of people have heard it. Is he did that. He left the team like out of nowhere when Rise was on vacation.
Oh.
So Rise had to run back home mid-vacation to find a third before the season started in like a week.
Wow.
So. Okay, specifically in that situation, the earlier the heads up can be, the better. Even if it's like a terrible thing or it's a tough thing. It's like, and this is just a life lesson about relationships, and I mean both business, both personal, right? Family, whatever. If there is a thing like a... And I'm... This hurts me because I know I am guilty of this, right? This is something that I work on constantly. But if there is like a giant thing that you know is uncomfortable, if you delay it longer, you're making it worse, you know? But if it, because if it has to be said, because if that person had more time, all right, or maybe, you know, maybe don't make these decisions so last minute. Like that decision, it probably was made earlier and then it took weeks before it was finally like vocalized, right? I think those things you have to give people time to adjust, to be courteous to them, especially if you know a season's coming up, right? Like you're literally messing with them, right?
Yeah.
But you know, once again, you know, I don't know the personal situations, because like that feels like something you would do to someone if you didn't care for them all too much. But that's just me looking from the outside in.
Like, luckily for them though, the whole Nolly moving to NA and then, my god, who was their third? Yeah, Tachi. Duh. Tachi went to go play with Exotic and Vatira, and then Astro was like, oh, I need a team. And then Moist were like, come here. We need you. So,
perfect. It worked out. Yes. Okay. Question answer? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. We got time for one more. And this was a discussion from weeks ago. I think we actually did cover this on the show, like, because we talked about it in the esports discussions a bit. But it was a question from Jox that said, do esports organizations lack personality uniqueness? Why would you root for one over the other? Remove the players from the equation as they move and rarely stay for years. Do esports orgs have something that connect with people, right? Because we have all these, because that's the thing. I follow the player. I don't follow the esports org usually. Right. Yeah. And then Profit, I want to say here, Prof answered, Prof said, this is why some orgs try to have a face of the company. Orgs like Optic, 100 Thieves, G2, and now G1 and Quadra all have figureheads that bring in their own loyal individuals. But almost every org lacks what business people call an edge, which is a product that ties those within the org to those outside of it. The edge of most esport orgs is their merch. Other than that, there's such a little sustainability esports because orgs, plainly said, aren't current enough on how to diversify meaningful edge. Ooh, I like how we're going to bring in jargon here. But I want to bounce off this because I think one of the things that Evil Geniuses did in the StarCraft era, and I'm gonna say the StarCraft era, is they made their brand very apparent, right? In that era, it was, okay, we have a couple people that put this brand on the map, right? A couple players in a player house. But what the brand did made them stick out more than other brands. And it was like, oh, you're playing an EG player. You know, that was the thing, right? So the whole collective of the org meant whoever you end up adding. So they literally just pick up, like they picked up random Korean players, right? When I mean random, I mean like top, you know, I think it's Jadong, right? One of the greatest, you know, StarCraft 1 players of all time that switched to StarCraft 2. They literally just picked him up, all right? Doesn't, like, speak English hardly at all, right? But, you know, not only was he like hyped up because of the fact that, oh, this is a big org, but all of a sudden it was EG. So he's like an EG player now. So that, you know, when he went to tournaments, you see him with the other EG players. But the things they did were this. One, they had stupid like gimmicks that you would remember. Okay. So one of them was they always like shout out their sponsors, the most ridiculous thing on everything they were on. When they were in an interview, all right, on the main broadcast, on a podcast, whatever, they would like fit it in. So like to this day, they had Monster Energy as a sponsor and they'd fit it in everywhere to the point they were at a Red Bull tournament. Okay. And like people were making memes on Reddit of the Monster can. Even the guy wasn't even drinking it, like a non-open Monster can on the person's desk, you know, as he's playing StarCraft. just ridiculous. The second thing is they'd make very campy commercials. I think HyperX was a sponsor, which is like graphics, like something computer related. And then it would just be like fake documentaries, like who ate the cookies in the org in the house, right? And then they do like a whole like mockumentary of like the main presenter, like it's a documentary, but and then there's just like HyperX products. So like what ended up happening is because they had this essentially content house, and they had all these creative ideas, and then also like they had, okay, Idra, which is someone who just yelled and got angry at people, but they had a lot of defined identity, right? And people associate with that and, you know, enjoyed that. And so I think that's what it is. If you ask me right now, right, what was an org that did something like this? Well, there was a time where SSG, I feel, had an identity in Rocket League because they just bought everyone, right? If you were like a mid to higher tier streamer or content creator, you were just bought, but like they just got you as a content creator, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, this is a brand now that I recognize in Rocket League, which feels stands out now because of the fact they just bought everyone, right? That was the thing that they did, but then that kind of just, you know, stopped working because everyone like left after their year contract or whatever. Cloud9 had Squishy as a defining part of Cloud9, right? That was the player. Now, when you look at NRG, its brand is defined by three players that are easily recognizable in the Rocket League scene, right? And I think as long as it's those three, then it feels like almost like the I don't want to say old guard, but you know what I mean, right? It's there. It's like cemented. But the second that goes away, like one of those players changes, then they're just like every other team, right? Yeah. And you'll fall like, there.
It's so like with JNAPs in Chicago.
In a way. Yeah, JNAPs Chicago are defining Garrett G2 Dustin right and now.
In Chicago. Yeah, it's like those two duos are like the longest standing like currently. And they're just like basically like the team. And then you have like the third who came in later. We just helped fill in,
which is fine. And, like, it at least it. Gives them something to grasp onto, right? G2, I associate whose dad is it? let's talk about brand recognition, right? Like this kind of thing that like identifies whose dad is it that's always at the
Rettle's dad, SSG?
No. G2. I think it's Jane episode.
Yeah, Jane's dad. I always see Jane's dad, and it's wearing like has a shirt.
I know that Rettle's dad is a thing as well.
Rettle's dad, for instance, is a thing. Rettle's himself is a stronger brand than most of the teams that he was on, right? Yep.
So is Calm at this point. Mm-hmm. So is Calm at this point with his hate.
Yeah, we have to talk about that Calm Sunless Con video probably next week. But
it's like I also associate like G2 with choking grand final.
Yeah, so G2 choking one. Grand finals. I mean, that's it's not what you want to be associated with, but at least that's a brand identity, right? Like that's not something every other team has, right? So BDS, for instance, has built a brand identity because they're a team that completely dominated for a long time, right? But as those players change or as they fall off, well, that identity is hard to stick. You know, you don't mm-hmm. have to keep that as things evolve, right? So it's about finding like G2 choking or the joke that they're going to choke. It doesn't matter if it's 3 years from now, we're still going to be still saying it. And that's for them, it's bad. But for brand recognition, it's not, right? Because it's like you have the memes, you have people like actually caring about it. So it's about finding those things that you don't really have latch on. Like what other teams do we see right now? That really have strong, like V1 for instance still doesn't feel like an esports org to me.
No.
In Rocket League sense. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's just like all these players that I know and that's why I'm there, but they're still not like an org that I'm feeling anything. NRG feels like the corporate org, which is, I guess, an identity in its thing, because they literally added a name to their name. And then,
like, Moist and Liquid are pretty much the most recognizable.
Yeah, personally, and Moist is a brand from other esports. Liquid is brand from other esports. So there's nothing in Rocket League, but at least those are strong enough. You're looking up a Liquipedia, right? The matches, the tournaments and stuff. So they've kept that. I mean, they're like literally a company, right? Like they're Wikipedia for esports.
Yeah.
Like that, that is their brand. And in Rock, like, let me go back to StarCraft real quick, right? In that like heyday, it was EG versus Liquid. That was the big rivalry, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the thing ingrained in the thing. You know, for us, like, because of the constant changes, like, we're losing some of those bigger rivalries, right?
Yeah.
Org versus Org, right? What was it in, like, League? It was, like, TSM versus...
wasn't C9, was it?
It was either... Yeah, I think it was TSM, C9. Or there was another org in NA. I want to say CLG. Is that right? Is that even
I'm not sure. I don't know.
There was a thing. I don't know. Whatever. The point is, it's like we need where, because that's what happened in League, right? Like all the teams, all five members are no longer the same, but the brand recognition, all those times, like Cloud9, you know, high on Cloud9, and the reverse sweeps and all that, like that is ingrained in the brand now when it comes to League of Legends, and we just don't have a lot of that in Rock League. So, like Cheese had more of an identity.
yeah, Queso had more.
I mean, I know that they changed, but like as an identity, Queso and like all those hats with Cheese is better than most brands are doing. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Mm-hmm. There's my
honestly, opinion. Like whenever like I think of Team Queso, I don't even think about like their stint in Rocket League. I think about their Clash Royale team from 2016.
Ayo.
Because there was a player on it, I think he was German or something. His name was Surgical Goblin. And I don't know why, but I loved watching that man play when I was like, how old was I back then? 13, 12. Like young. I was like, oh my god, I want to be like Surgical Goblin one day. But I quit the game after like a couple years. So yeah. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
There it is. Question answered. There's another questions I'll get rid of that have been answered in
further below.
Below. I'm just gonna get rid of now. But yeah, that completes our show for the week, episode 200. Okay. Started with nonsense, actually had some great points in the middle. You know, run of the mill 200 episode. You know, most people think of 200 as a milestone.
Our milestones are our most average episodes.
Yes,
what you can can learn to expect.
Listen, we have to set the
we're setting the standard for the next 100 episodes here. 50.
I mean, if I the thing is, like, I thought we got to some great points here. Like sometimes, like, this model of rapid fire questions I think is great. What I will say, Wabs, is I need to give you the obligatory question that I'm going to ask you again once we get to the 4-year anniversary. You ready for it? Do you know what it is, Babs?
I have no idea what it is.
Oh, well, you're going to laugh when you hear it. When we started, did you think we we would get here, Babs? And then Wabs says, no, I
definitely not
think we'd get here. I had no idea. And then I say, I always knew we'd get this far. Thank you, everyone. I'll see y'all next week. Your homework is to be kind and nice to people. We'll see ya. Peace.
Bye.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.